now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, some spy action this week as we catch up with a new band to the show by the name of Codename Carter. News on the home of the world's greatest songs, the Brill Building. And some sad news on the passing of Marion McPartland from NPR. Plus, our What a Swank gig guide, the swankiest tunes from across the globe as we broadcast from Sydney's home of lounge. It is the Sydney Penthouse. And music right now from his new album, Turn Up the Sun. It's Dom Mariami on the Cocktail Nation.
Cocktail Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Cooper on the Cocktail Nation, Kenny Sasaki, Fly Me to the Moon. New band to the Cocktail Nation that recently came across my studio desk is that of spy jazz band Codename Carter. Steve Gray from the band joins me. Hello.
Thank you. I'm happy to be talking to you.
And I'm very glad that you guys got in contact with me to tell me about this marvelous band. Let's start off with the name. I've got a few things I want to find out about your band. Codename Carter. Where's the name from?
Well, it's sort of a mishmash of different themes, I guess, starting with Get Carter, the original one with Michael Caine. Mike and I, as the founders of the band, had to bring some of our own influences into the band name, of course, and that movie is popular with both of us. Michael Caine is popular with both of us. And even though it's not a spy movie per se, it's more of a British thug movie. It has an amazing spy soundtrack, a lot of harpsichord and Rhodes electric piano, both of which figure pretty prominently into our sound. And that, of course, is a Roy Budd soundtrack. So sort of paying homage to that movie. Also, there's a little bit of a history with the name Carter as relates to just spy fiction in general. There's Nick Carter. I haven't read those books, but if you do a search on spy and the name Carter, it hits several times. So that just kind of suggested to us that maybe it'd be cool to base the band name off of that.
Absolutely. And fantastic SEO as well.
Yeah.
Which everybody's got to think about in this day of internet.
We're all going to change our own last names to Carter eventually. It's just a matter of time.
I like the sound of that. Great band. I just love your spy tunes, and it's always fantastic when we get different bands coming to us. I had a Bossa Nova band get in contact with me just recently. It's fantastic to get all of these genres covered. And when it comes to lounge and exotica, there are a lot of sub-genres within that, and it's always fantastic to get something a little bit different. The spy band that we've spoken about before is Spyfy. You're probably aware of those guys, so it's great to have another spy genre band come our way. Tell us a little bit about your influences when it comes to spy jazz.
I'm glad you asked that, because it's definitely a community of influences when it comes to anything like this. Even if you're starting an all original band like this, where you're writing your own songs, there's a ton of influences that come into play. And for me, one of the first ones was Goldfrapp, their first album. That has a very spy sound to it, and it figured in prominently. It made me kind of want to get back into the studio and start writing some new material. And then Barry Adamson was a huge influence on all of us. He's more on the jazz side of things, but sort of mixes in jazz and rock. And that was a big influence as well. Both of those, very spy sounding. And of course, our previous band, not all of us were in that band. It was just me and Mike, who's the drummer for Codename Carter and was the drummer for the previous band that I'm thinking of, Maraca 5-0. We were an all-instrumental band that kicked things off in 2000, and that was a big influence, if it's fair to say that you influenced yourself.
Yeah.
Well, sort of a surf punk outfit.
Sounds like you guys have been at it for a long time. There's something very cool about spy jazz. For guys like us that dig it, I suppose, it's when it comes down to 60s and 70s and 50s spy flicks. I mean, there's a coolness associated with that. Cool cars, gorgeous women, and cool drinks. And it all just seems to mesh nicely, which is probably why so many of us just love spy jazz.
Yeah, and I, obviously mentioned some modern stuff, Barry Adamson and Goldfrapp, but I don't want to exclude the old stuff because that's where it all comes from originally. The 60s John Barry soundtracks for James Bond, the Roy Budd I already mentioned, and then, of course, Henry Mancini was huge as well.
Whereabouts are you guys located in the U.S.?
We are in Denver.
In Denver?
Denver, Colorado.
It's an amazing thing about Denver, and I don't know what it is about Denver, but Denver seems to always have this really vibrant music scene. I've spoken to a few different bands from the Denver area, and going back into to my early days when I was listening to a lot of rockabilly, there's always some amazing bands coming out of this, tapping into genres that aren't tapped into. I don't know what it is about Denver. Is there something in the water down there?
There might be something in the water, but mainly it'll give you diarrhea, so I don't want to advise on that part of it too much. No, I think it's just a really creative city, and it's sort of in need of a reputation for that, because not many people seem to be aware of it, and it really is a vibrant place to connect with other creative people and just pull your ideas together. There's no shortage of mix-up either. Like, you'll get a lot of different backgrounds, people from all walks of life. It's not divided into cliques the way some cities are, which is really nice, and it helps bring a lot of different ideas to the table for a better mishmash.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that.
Music-wise, is there a vibrant live music scene in Denver?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it gets bigger and bigger all the time. I mean, obviously the big, you know, companies like Live Nation bring a lot of the national acts through, and that's huge here. We have Red Rocks, which is one of the most popular places for national acts to play. It's just this amazing outdoor amphitheater. But then in addition to that, all the local stuff just keeps getting bigger. We've got the Underground Music Showcase that's happening every year. We just played that. And it's sort of like Denver's answer to South by Southwest,
yeah.
Only it's 90% local acts, if not more. I'm not sure what the actual percentage is, but UMS stands for Underground Music Showcase, so you get a lot of different types of bands, and that's where you really see how big of a city Denver is when it comes to music.
I just love your stuff, and as soon as you sent me the music, I was just like, wow, this is incredible. Where can listeners grab some of your music if they want to, you know, download some or grab CDs? Have you got some stuff out ready to go?
The website, codenamecarter.com, is a good place to go if you just want a quick download, three MP3s that we have out there. You can also go to a new Bandcamp page that I just set up, so that'd be codenamecarter.bandcamp.com, and there we have two additional tracks. So there's the three free ones, plus two that we just uploaded recently that we're charging $1 a piece for, and we'll be adding more as we get closer to a full-on album recording arrangement.
Steve, well done. I tell you what, I look forward to more and more music coming out from Codename Carter in the future. So thanks for joining us on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
Codename Carter, perfect clarity, perfect cut on the Cocteau Nation. I'm
Cooper on the Cocktail Nation.
That ego people pay to see.
Enchanted.
The Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
Tonation, Coop Cooper and David Carbonara, Beautiful Mind, the Mad Men theme, the jazz version from the Mad Men After Hours album. The Brill Building, 1619 Broadway at West 49th Street, now stands more than half empty after closing last year of Colony Records and the Sound One post-production studio. The owner, Mr. Haydar, who's a private real estate investment company chairman, believes that he can breathe some life back into the Brill Building by evoking its show business past. He paid a lot of money for this thing, too. $185 million for the 11-story landmark building back in February. And he says that he's prepared to spend $50 million or more to finance, renovate, repair, maintain, and lease the Brill Building. Now, there is one remnant of the days when the Brill Building was the vertical tin pan alley. On floor number 6, a visitor can find the St. Nicholas Music Incorporated hand-painted gold leaf letters on the door with the brass hardware and the mail slot. And this is actually the company that licenses Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is pretty amazing, 64 years after Johnny Marks wrote it. But it's not the type of company that Mr. Haydar is actually looking for. He says, I'd argue that music and technology are now very much one and the same. He said, let's say we got the next Spotify or next Pandora. The building could be a 21st century version of what it was. I like his thinking. Wouldn't that be interesting? So there you go. If you have a business in New York City, maybe a music business, this might be the building for you, the historic Brill Building. Wouldn't that be fabulous to work out of? Here's Duke Ellington and Anatomy of a Murder on the Cocktonation.
He took me to his hotel room.
Uh-huh.
He showed me Central Park, and then we left.
And nothing else?
Nothing.
That's even worse than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is Darren Long from the Tiki Delights, and you're listening to one of my new songs off Meet the Tiki Delights on the Cocktail Nation.
Leader Coop Cooper and the band that we had on the show the other week, Tiki Delights, Sandy Sumba from their new album Meet the Tiki Delights. If you'd like to grab that album, as I know quite a few listeners have, darrenlong.com for more details. Good friend of the Cocktail Nation, Gina McNew, was telling me how much she absolutely loves this album. News this week on the loss of the great pianist and that of Marion McPartland, who gave the world an intimate insider's perspective on one of the most elusive topics in music, jazz improvisation. She died at the age of 95. For more than 40 years, she hosted Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz, an NPR program pairing conversation and duet performances that reached an audience of millions, connecting with jazz fans and the curious alike. And she's interviewed practically every major jazz musician of the post-World War II era. Her soft English accent made for wonderful listening, and it also made her a good radio personality, along with being an accomplished jazz pianist herself, which was very evident on her program. Young Marion Turner, as she was once known, studied classical music, went on to perform in vaudeville theatres across England, and during World War II she entertained troops, often jamming with the American soldiers, and she married one of them as well, Jimmy McPartland. After the war, the couple made their way to the US, first to Chicago, and then to New York City. She continued to record and perform throughout the 1950s and into the 1960s. But as rock and roll took over, she started to lecture on college campuses. In the late 60s, she started spinning jazz records on a New York radio station where the pianist would drop by the studio unannounced just to chat. The program A Casual Hello became a regular program in 1979 when McPartland and South Carolina ETV Radio launched Piano Jazz. Her first on-air guest was the late Billy Taylor. And the conversations themselves are very much like jazz when you listen back to the program. Spontaneous and free-flowing. I remember the first time I heard the show was unlike anything I'd ever heard before. It was clearly a radio show, but a woman sitting behind a microphone and a piano with intimate conversations about jazz. Just absolutely spectacular. And fortunately, those recordings will continue on. In fact, here in Sydney on ABC Jazz, they play her program very regularly, and I'm sure NPR will continue to do that as well. Time for a look at the world of swank now. October 12, the Martini Kings are playing at Mod in Palm Springs. They're going to be at the Curve Hotel in Palm Springs. Tiki Cowboys, every third Thursday throwdown. Tiki Terrace in Illinois, and Otto's Grotto, another regular. This is over at the Forbidden Island Alameda. The second annual Tiki Day, September the 22nd. Big Band Tuesdays, the basement. Alternating with the Basement Big Band and the Sirens Big Band. And Pink Martini's European Tour, we've got all the details. There's quite a lot of gigs to mention, so we've got them up on the website, www.cocktailnation.net, if you'd like to check that out. The Hollywood Burlesque Festival, December 6th. For these gigs and many, many more, click on the website, www.cocktailnation.net. And you can certainly submit an event if you've got one on. Love to hear from bands and promoters and whatnot. Tell us about it, and we'll tell everybody through our social media and, of course, via this radio show. Here's Tiki Joe's Ocean, Lullaby for Lono on the Cocktail Nation. Thank you.
Cooper on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation Lounge Leader Coop Cooper, and next week on the show, chatting to Randy Wong, who is stopping by to chat about his gig with Jimmy Borges, which is coming up in October. It's going to be a huge gig. He's going to be playing at the Hilton Hawaiian Village Coral Ballroom on Sunday, October the 20th. So it should be fantastic. Jimmy Borges teaming up with Waitiki. Look forward to that interview next week. Going to leave you with Janet Seidel and Midnight Sun. Stay hip.
Your lips were like a red and ruby chalice, warmer than the summer night. The clouds were like an alabaster phallus, rising to a snowy height. Each star its own aurora borealis, suddenly you held me tight. I could see the midnight sun. I can't explain the silver rain that found me. Oh, was that a moonlit fane? The music of the universe around me. Oh, was that a found me. Suddenly the sky turned pale. I could see the midnight sun. Was there such a night? It's a thrill I still don't quite believe. But after you were gone, there was still some stardust on my sleeve. The flame of it may dwindle to an ember, and the stars forget to shine. And we may see the meadow in December, I see white and crystalline. I remember when your lips were close to mine, and I saw the midnight sun. Such a night, it's a thrill I still don't quite believe. Oh, but after you were gone, there was still some stardust on my sleeve. The flame of it may dwindle to an ember, and the stars forget to shine. December, I see white and crystalline.